made of the clouds. That day rain, no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold weeping. So, in this parable of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, we see what this original vineyard was the house of Israel. And another reference, speaking of the same thing, is in Psalm chapter 80. And we'll begin reading in verse 8. Psalm 80, verse 8. You have brought a vine out of Egypt, and have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it, and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea, and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges, so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devour it. Return, we beseech you, O Lord of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit the vine in the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you make strong for yourself. It is burned with fire, and is cut down, and they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. So we see in the Old Testament the picture of the vine in God's provision for Israel. And we also see, in the passage we read in Isaiah, that, despite the care and concern that the Lord put over his vineyard, what did it produce? It produced good grapes. It produced bad grapes, sour grapes. So ultimately, it was destroyed. The vineyard was torn down, the walls were torn down, and the vineyard was destroyed and conquered. So that is the contrast that we see in the first verse there, when the Lord Jesus, back in John chapter 15, said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So, in contrast to what the picture we see in the Old Testament of what the vineyard was, here is the new vineyard, here is the new vine. This is the vine of the Lord Jesus. So, with that as kind of context, we'll go ahead and look at the verses here before us this morning, and have a comment as we go through there. Now, I will say that there are a couple, what we call them, controversial verses in the passages that we're going to look at this morning. A couple verses that there are various different interpretations of. I will say that, as usual, one of the resources I looked at was Brother McDonald's commentary. And I think the approach he takes is this parable, as coming as late as it did, it's in John chapter 15. And I think this is the last of the Lord's parables. So this parable is directed towards believers. So if you take that frame of mind, it helps when you look at a couple of these controversial verses. Probably confused you already. Maybe you'll stay confused, but maybe not when we get to these couple verses. But I'll bring them again. When we look at those verses, we'll take it from the viewpoint of these were believers that the Lord Jesus was talking to. So, verse 2 is the first controversial kind of thought. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, the second part of the verse is not the controversial part. And if you know anything, I know very little about vine dressing, but it says the second part, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, cutting them off from the vine. But that would, since we can make the assumption that this parable is talking to the believers, that would make sense that their salvation, that their lives would be taken, or their salvation would be taken away from them. So I think the interpretation that we would tend to look at from this is that these are our believers, and we get more into this in a later verse here. These are believers who have fallen into some type of disreputable situation, and the Lord takes them away from the vine. And I think I'm not doing a good job of explaining this, but maybe we'll drop down to verse 6 where this issue is brought up again. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So this is kind of the same type of situation. A branch that doesn't abide is cast out as a branch that is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So again, when we think of believers in eternal salvation, this idea of something being cast off and burned again and burned in the fire doesn't fit with our view of eternal salvation. So I like the interpretation that all of these two verses really deal with believers that have fallen away in some respect, and their testimonies are ruined. Throw them into the fire and they're burned. And the example that McDonald uses in this regard is the way the atheists apparently look at David. You know, they look at all of his sins and the things that he did away from his sins of adultery, his sins of murder. You know, and they think David's just this awful person. And so they cast him aside, and he's got a horrible testimony, at least in the view of the atheist. And I think that's kind of the thought here. If again we go on the basis that we're dealing with Christians here, is that when a Christian stumbles, goes outside of fellowship, and then his testimony is kind of burned. You know, the world looks at us, looks at Christians, and they're always looking for us to stumble, aren't they? They're always saying, see, that guy said he was a Christian. You see it all the time, particularly these people, whether they're true believers or not. Some of these evangelists that have over the years, and you can answer is there is a possibility, or there is some confusion on how the Greek verb aero is translated. And it can mean to take away, but a second translation of that verb also means to lift up. And I'm reading from McDonald here. Then it would be the positive ministry of encouraging the fruitless branch by making it easier to get light and air and hopefully to bear fruit. So, again, back in verse 2, there's not universal agreement on how that verb form takes away can be translated. I'm not sure that helps, but I think you can hear kind of some of the confusion that's come in. George, you can clear up our confusion. Takes us right to verse 4, and we'll jump in there and I'll read there. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, we can't bear any fruit unless we're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the better way to look at it is he abiding in us? Are we letting him through in our lives, to bear this fruit of the Lord Jesus, the fruit that he would produce in our lives. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. That's kind of, as Jeff pointed out, that's kind of the point I think that as believers we should take, from this particular parable is that, we need to be connected to the vine, and broken, and the branches die, or the branches wilt, and they just don't produce any good fruit. So, you know, the point of the parable is, you know, we must remain connected. Let's see, we've already looked at verse 6. Let's go down to verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So, you know, the whole point of this parable is the fruit-bearing part. And, you know, the only way we can bear fruit for the Lord is stay connected to the vine. We saw what happened, and again, it's the picture we look at. We saw what happened to Israel. That vine, they did not stay connected, so that vine died. This is the new vine. This is the true vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we must, as believers, we must stay connected to Him in order to bear fruit. As George has pointed out the last couple of sessions, that's, you know, what we're looking at. We're looking at the fruit-bearing part of our Christian life. And I'll go ahead and open up to any brother that hasn't yet had a comment. Brother Eric? It's not the fruit that we produce, is it? It's the fruit that's produced through us by Him. You know, nothing. We can't do anything on our own. Back up to verse 3 for just a second. I kind of skipped over that. Verse 3, you are already, and that follows after verse 2, which talks about the pruning and things like that. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So, we talked about the need for the vine dresser or the vine dresser to go in and do these prunings and things like that, but in our case, and the believers, we're already clean because of the Word. You know, that's the cleaning agent that each of us need, is regular reading of the Word of God, meditation, prayer on the Word of God. You know, so that is the cleaning agent, again, that we need. And we can be clean as the vine lives through us and produces the fruit that the Lord Jesus would desire. cover.